This morning's gospel comes from Luke chapter 21. Some of the disciples were talking about the temple, how beautiful it looked with its fine stones and the gifts offered to God. Jesus said, "All this you see. The time will come when not a single stone here will be left in its place. Every one will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will this be? And what will happen in order to show that the time has come for it to take place?" Jesus said, "Watch out. Don't be fooled. Many men claiming to speak for me will come and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' But don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and revolutions. Such things must happen first, but they do not mean that the end is near." He went on to say, "Countries will fight each other. Kingdoms will attack one another. There will be terrible earthquakes, famines, and plagues everywhere. There will be strange and terrifying things coming from the sky. Before all these things take place, however, you will be arrested and persecuted. You will be handed over to be tried in synagogues and be put in prison. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. This will be your chance to tell the good news. Make up your minds ahead of time not to worry about how you will defend yourselves, because I will give you such words and wisdom that none of your enemies will be able to refute or contradict what you say. You will be handed over by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends, and some of you will be put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a single hair from your heads will be lost. Stand firm, and you will save yourselves." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, at some point in our lives, we've all had someone say to us, "I've got some bad news, and I've got some good news. Which do you want to hear first?" Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather start with the bad news because it can only get better from there, right? However, in today's gospel, Jesus seems to be saying to his followers, "Well, people, I've got some bad news, and I've got some really bad news." He tells them that the temple will be destroyed. Imposters will come in his name to deceive them. Wars and natural disasters will occur. They will be imprisoned and put on trial for their faith. Friends and family will betray them. Some of them will even be put to death, and everyone will hate them. This is more than a little bad news, don't you think? Today, though, we might wonder, first, is Jesus speaking to us in this text? Maybe secretly hoping that he isn't. And second, where, if at all, is the good news? Yet before we look at how this gospel speaks into our lives, we should look and how this text spoke to its original audience. And in order to do this, we need to talk a little geography and history, so I have a map for you. Jesus' homeland of Palestine, or Canaan, as it's labeled on this map, and I realize it's difficult to see, but the big blue body of water there in the middle of the map, to the far east on the right, in black letters, going vertically, is Canaan. That's where we're talking about. This was an important crossroads between many different parts of the ancient world, making it a major trade route and therefore a highly desirable land that many nations sought to control. To the south and west of Palestine or Canaan, you had Africa, especially Egypt, and we know Israel's history of being slaves there from the Exodus story. Next, to the north and east, labeled here as Asia, you had various kingdoms like Syria, Assyria, Babylon, and Persia that had at different times conquered Palestine before Jesus' life. Then finally, to the north and west, you had European nations like the Greeks and Romans that created huge empires that dominated this area and well beyond. This all meant that Palestine, this little land of the Israelites and the other peoples living there, was constantly being conquered and ruled by these larger nations that surrounded it. So in Jesus' time, as you may know, it was the Romans who ruled Palestine. and the local Roman ruler Herod, who governed the area during the early years of Jesus' life, even played a major role in constructing the temple that was at the center of the Jewish faith. That means that when Jesus' followers were admiring the temple in today's gospel, they weren't just admiring a beautiful and impressive structure. They were also admiring a product of the latest oppressive and unwanted foreign rule. As a result, the temple was a complicated symbol for them. One more thing about the temple that we need to mention. About 40 years after Jesus' earthly ministry, the Jewish people revolted against Roman rule seeking independence. But the Romans violently suppressed the revolt and destroyed the temple in the process as a way to further demoralize the people. All four of the Gospels were likely written after the temple was destroyed. So Luke is really describing, in Jesus' words, by Luke's time, what has already happened. In addition, Luke is sharing Jesus' words that describe the challenges many early believers faced. These believers were a very small minority in the wider culture, and they didn't participate in many of the Roman-sponsored events of the time because they believed that these conflicted with their calling as Christ's followers. This led many of these believers to feel at odds with the world around them, and I'm sure it did feel at times like everyone hated them, as Jesus says in today's gospel. But bringing it back to today, again, we wonder, what about us? Do these words from Jesus have any continued relevance? And if so, does he have any good news amongst all of this bad news to share? Well, the short answer, as you can guess, is yes and yes. Jesus is speaking to us, and he has some important good news. First of all, we can relate to this text. We're obviously no strangers to challenges and suffering, even as we don't face the kind of persecution that other believers in the early church faced, as well as believers today even yet face in other parts of the world. However, in our modern day, as we are well aware, technology allows us to hear of events, including tragic events, from all over the world within seconds. And since this communication makes our world seem smaller, we are faced with this pain on a daily basis. We are continually bombarded by all sorts of bad news that compounds the challenges we face in our own lives. Sometimes this makes our view of the world seem bleak or even hopeless, and we might despair. So Jesus' words actually hit uncomfortably close to home today, don't they? Then, like the disciples, we wonder what all of this means. Is the world coming to an end? And if so, when? Yet while Jesus says that our world has an end date, he doesn't give his followers any idea of when this is. In fact, he says to the people that other people will give them a timeline, but all who do this are imposters. So if Jesus isn't giving us inside information on when this will all occur, why does he share all of this bad news with us? What are we supposed to do with this information? Well, I don't believe that Jesus offers these difficult words today in any way to scare or threaten us. Jesus is only describing the broken state of our world as it was then and as it continues to be now. Natural disasters will happen. Some of this is unavoidable. Yet in our age of climate change awareness, we're increasingly realizing that we've played a part in damaging God's creation, and we need to play a part in fixing it before it's too late. War and other conflicts will also happen. And this is the result of our collective sin. We've all played a part in injuring one another. Finally, when we follow Christ's countercultural, challenging ways of discipleship, we will not always be popular, as Jesus warns us. However, in the midst of all of this bad news, Jesus offers us some much-needed hope. In fact, he tells us that these challenges and conflicts offer an opportunity. Did you hear that in the gospel? In the midst of these trials, Jesus says in verse 13, this will be your chance to tell the good news. And what is this good news? It's that God is present and active in your lives and in the lives of all in the world, seeking constantly to bring us all new life. A little later in Luke's gospel, when Jesus was taking on all of the world's pain and suffering on the cross, Jesus offered his persecutors, including us, words of forgiveness. He cried out, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing." Truer words have never been spoken. We often don't realize the ways we hurt God's creation. We don't know what we're doing. We often don't realize the ways that we hurt one another as individuals, even as the church and as a nation. We don't know what we're doing. Yet while all of this sounds like more bad news, Jesus changes our story. Jesus forgives you and me and calls us to be witnesses to God's limitless and unending love for the world. And this love shines brightest in the darkness. Just when we think we can't handle any more bad news, God calls you and me to be a sign of the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells his followers this morning, tells us, that he will give us the words and wisdom to share with others. And God has given us these words of life in Scripture. God has also given us these words of life in one another, as we are signs of God's hope for one another and for this world in all that we say and do. So brothers and sisters, don't give up. Yes, there's plenty of bad news out there. And if you're especially struggling with this, please see one of us at church, and we'll be happy to talk to you. And if we need to find even more help, we will be happy to find that with you. Everyone is broken. Every one of us is broken, and we all need help. Yet, always know that you are not alone. When the world seems to be ending before your eyes, and all you can hear is the bad news, this is your opportunity. This is our opportunity to be witnesses to God's good news. So as you come forward in a moment to receive Holy Communion, receive again God's promises of forgiveness and new life, and let this gift strengthen you to go into this hurting world to be a sign of God's good news that the world so desperately longs to hear. Thanks be to God.